In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's rivalry week. Ducks and Huskies go toe-to-toe this week.
Huskies can't stop the clock. This game's going to be over. And Oregon has come to Seattle. They're going to come out on top.
No love lost from one of these hosts.
I delve into these waters because I love seeing the misery of Husky fans. It makes me happy inside.
Andy Dirk Johnson.
We're going to run it until you can stop it. Yeah. We're more physical than you. We're bigger than you. We're stronger than you. And you can't slow us down at the point of attack.
Brandon Sprague.
Such a football bro.
This is a Rivalry Week edition of Dirt and Sprague. Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour of the radio program here, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, Lamar Hurd going crazy last night. Nice little Blazer win.
Nice little dub on the road.
Don't look now, the clinger.
He's playing well, man.
14-11-2, I think, in his last six games. 53% from the field.
Nice little stretch from Kling Kong.
You know what I think it is?
Hmm.
I think it's the Dirt and Sprague bump. I think since we called him out,
yeah.
He's put it together and actually played like a man.
We asked, should he be traded for Sabonis? That was the debate. And now he's saying, wait a minute, you want to get rid of me already? Hell no, you're not trading me. I'm a good center.
I'd still take phone calls.
Yeah, I would.
Wow. I'm not going to have a player for a month and a half. But
that's the tough part
I
with
digress.
That.
Yes.
Is that any different than the rest of the roster?
Everybody's
Isn't that what we're currently dealing with?
I'm just kidding.
Half the team's out.
Donovan's playing well. I don't know how much Blazers Dirt had on the show sheet, but as a nice little win in Milwaukee, they handled their business.
It was, man. It was. I wasn't quite sure what to make.
It's a back-to-back that got it given to them by the Thunder, who hasn't. So they didn't have a hangover. They showed up, played the next day. The Bucks are beat up, too, took advantage of them.
Now you get the incredibly banged-up Spurs tomorrow.
We talked about it on the show yesterday that the scheduling gods are kind of rolling a little red carpet out for you right now. A lot of stars out when you're playing those teams.
Redding water.
Hang around 500 until hopefully they get some dudes back.
Yeah. I mean, look, they're going to be a play-in team.
Yeah.
The bottom of the West is so bad.
It's very bad.
It would take a cratering to not get there.
Did you see the report that the minority owner of the Suns is suing Ishbia?
Oh, what did they do? What's the beef there?
That's a juicy story.
Yeah, did you read that?
I didn't see that.
That was consideration for the Magic hat.
That's, yeah, maybe we hold that then.
Ah, okay. We can holster it. I have not seen that story yet, no.
Alleging some wrongdoing.
You want to be Adam Silver? What's Adam Silver thankful for besides his TV contract?
that the owners like him because he should be fired?
Yeah. He also sucks at his job.
He kind of sucks.
And he's such a yes man, though, that they won't fire him.
Exactly. Thank you, sir. May I have another, is what he likes to say, I think, in those meetings.
That's exactly what he says.
A lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. We will have Dan Lanning. Not as a guest.
No.
But we'll have Dan Lanning audio.
Yes.
It'd be nice to have Dan Lanning.
That'd be great to have Dan Lanning.
But will he be on primetime on Wednesday? Do we know that?
I don't know.
You know, for what your technical title is, I ask you a lot of questions and I get told either it's not
over there,
your job or you don't know.
Figure it out, man.
Duck stuff runs through Dusty.
I feel like Dusty just does everything and tells you nothing. That you're just out there flying and you're like, yeah, I'm swag.
That's not my responsibility. I'm not dealing with that. Although, to be fair to swag, that's probably the right way to handle a lot of stuff around here.
I think it's better for swag to not know.
That's not on my plate. That's not my not my job.
No, so I need to just start
texting.
My
job was last night making sure when we split the signals for Ducks basketball and 105 that it worked properly.
Everything stayed on the air.
Did you catch that college basketball itch last
night? I did watch a little college hoops yesterday.
Did you watch
the
Ducks
Auburn
game?
Yeah, it was a fun game.
It was
the last couple of minutes.
No,
Auburn
that Players
Heritage
Festival, they got a lot of top teams. And
I just have a hard time with those. I get the tournament point of it, and I'm sure there's money involved, and that's why they do it.
Top teams now.
When you, when you go play in those, and there's like 49 people in the stands.
Yeah, I know.
It's depressing.
Tough.
Just go play the game in Auburn. Have them come out to Eugene.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, what are we doing? I get that money's involved. I understand why they do it. TV. You know, they want the games on net. I understand. Everybody in the same city, so you can play tournament. But God, it just aesthetically, it looks horrible. It's like watching a high school basketball game.
I think only one conference in my life in that sport can get away with these situations, and that's the old Big East in the Garden.
Yeah, because they were all so centrally located.
They're all in a hub. It's a destination for everybody that can get on a train.
And New York will show up. I mean, if there's good basketball in the Garden, they love it.
Like, if you get the Johnnies in UConn in the Garden, like,
Patino
it's packed,
and
dude.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. These Vegas tournaments.
I turned the game on. I was like kind of excited. Like, hey, it's a Vegas tournament. Auburn's in the top 25. Oregon was, what, a second round tournament team last year?
Yeah.
They lose in the second round?
How was Oregon not ranked, by the way?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're technically like 26th or 27th. They're one of those also receiving votes.
Receiving
and I'm like, let's check this out. And the first thing they do is pan to the crowd. It's like, there's 149 people.
Well, the other
here,
problem
man.
Is they're playing it in three different arenas.
Yes. Everybody's spread out.
Yeah.
Which is really dumb, because if you have everybody in the same arena, then at least you get the fans of the other teams that are there waiting for their game to start, which you would get like the PK when it would be here.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's two arenas and they're right next to each other, and so you just kind of, Duke fans are here because our game is next, and we'll watch this game before our game starts.
Yeah, but
I'm going to try to go to the Gonzaga game. I'm going to effort that.
That's at the Moda, right?
It's at the Moda.
Yeah.
It's a December
21st, Sunday afternoon. It's like at 2 or 3 in
the
afternoon.
So it's a Sunday, isn't it?
It is a Sunday, the day after the college football playoff day, because that'll be the 19th and 20th, or the opening rounds of the college football playoff. And then you get Sunday college hoops.
We're going to work that Monday, potentially.
Potentially.
So you're going to basically probably miss most of the Sunday slate?
Probably, yeah.
Now I'm kind of curious.
Ooh.
Like, have you looked at the schedule?
For that Sunday slate, I have not, no.
You said it's the
21st? I assumed if we're doing a show that Monday, the vast majority of that show is reacting to whatever happened in the college football playoff.
Here's good
news
for you.
That's the reason we're coming in.
Well, yeah, we'll do a lot of college football, but if you want to dabble in a little NFL before we sign off,
Rams-Seahawks
is that Thursday.
Oh, that's nice.
So we'll get that Friday show.
Yeah.
Then you get Packers-Bears on Saturday.
Okay.
Sunday slate that weekend, Chargers-Cowboys.
That's not a bad game.
Depending on who's actually
Bucks Panthers might
up.
Decide the division at that point.
Very well could.
Patriots at the Ravens. That's
okay.
a 10 a.m. game. I don't know what time the basketball game's
I think
at.
It's a 2 o'clock start.
Two or three.
Yeah,
let
it's
me
late
check
afternoon.
Dude,
I'll see
it's
the full
3
morning
o'clock,
slate.
You'll get the 10 a.m. slate in.
It's just a 1 o'clock window that you'll miss.
Jags Broncos do anything for you?
Not really.
Good, because that's a 1 o'clock game.
No, I don't.
Steelers at Lions do anything for you?
Not really. No, the Lions.
Good.
Should kill
that's
them.
A 1:25 game.
Yeah.
And then Monday's the Niner Colt game.
Hey, and that's a good game
so
right there.
So you're actually missing nothing.
Yeah, that Gonzaga game is 3 p.m.
3 p.m.
Perfect.
I haven't been to a Duck basketball game in a long. I probably haven't been since the last PK tournament or the last time they did one of these.
We had that one off.
I went and got hammered on a Tuesday night and they played. Did they play Gonzaga in that?
No, it was Memphis, wasn't
it? Was it Memphis?
Or was that a tournament game?
I think that was a tournament game. I can't remember. Mm. They had one where Oregon State played a game and Oregon played a game. They each had a back-to-back, and you and I were there.
Oh,
and I remember nobody. We stayed for the Oregon State game, and there was nobody there. It was the Oregon game was first, and the Moda was
like
relatively full. I think it was Oklahoma
or Arkansas or somebody.
And then the Oregon State game was the second half of that, and I remember looking around, and nobody was left.
I went to an Oregon State game at the Moda, and I forget. It might have been the PK, because they played Florida, I think.
Mm. Yeah.
Was that the PK?
Yeah.
I went to that game. My daughters, I took them with me, just me and my daughters.
No beefs!
My youngest was like, is anybody going to show up for this game, Dad?
Why
was it an early one?
Here?
It was an earlier game, yeah. And I remember because we ended up sitting right next to our old boss. Him and his wife were at the game. I'm like, oh, what's up? He randomly had a black eye, and I'm like, are you in trouble?
Are you all right? Do you need to tell us something
here?
You
blink twice right now.
Did somebody punch you in the face?
You need me to sit between you and your wife?
You need to break this thing up? What's happening right now?
By the way, that Sunday, here's even more of an incentive reason why you should go to that Gonzaga-Oregon basketball game. Sunday night football, you might be going, I'll get in time.
Bum, bum, ba, da, da, bum,
is that one going to get flexed?
Bu, 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 bu.
Buckle up, buddy. This is a big one. Bengals-Dolphins.
Dude, can't wait. How does that not get
That's
flexed
getting
out?
Flexed.
How does that stay on the schedule at the end of December?
They're moving
There's
Bears
no
Packers.
Chance that game is a
Bears
Sunday night.
Bears Packers is going to Sunday.
But you said
night.
Bears Packers was Saturday, right? So I don't think you could
oh,
do that
no,
a full
they
day.
Won't move the Saturday game.
How so you have to pick a Sunday game.
So how do the networks figure out what you flip? Because if I was to flip, I'd put Pat's Ravens Sunday night football.
That would work.
That would work.
Because
yeah.
That's the 1 o'clock CBS game.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the 10 a.m. CBS game. God, my stupid laptop. That's what
times.
I would do.
I don't know what I know for the Sunday night, I think it's got to be 14 days out. So you got to be 2 weeks out.
I'd get
I
that
don't
figured
know.
Out today. That game's going to suck. Yeah.
That game's going to be terrible.
Bengals, I don't know Dolphins. If it has to be an afternoon, one of the late afternoon game. Like if you can go from 10 a.m. all the way to Sunday night, or if it's only one slot.
I'll tell you what, if they don't flex out of that one, I will not be waiting all day for Sunday
but
night.
But no, that Sunday night, I imagine NBC's on the phone to somebody right now.
I'm out on that one.
Not going to be a big conversation on that game either on the show.
No. We will not be talking about it.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the program. Dan Lanning is going to, we're going to bring some audio from Dan Lanning. He made USC fans quite upset yesterday.
Yes, he did. How dare he get his team motivated to play a big football game? How dare, why would any head coach want to do that?
How dare you let the facts.
How dare he suggest that USC's been thriving off of what they did 20 to 25
years ago. Win something, we did 30 years ago.
Yeah. Win okay. something. We did it when only people voted, and that's how you decided it.
Found out why they chose black jerseys, too. That was fun.
Yes,
was
we did. Yeah, yes, we did.
He's good.
He's so
it was
good.
Wild.
He's
good.
So good.
It sucks.
He's
it was
good.
Such a big week for them in terms of I've been going to Duck games for a long time. I even asked Anthony this because he's obviously been going to Duck games longer than I have. I have never seen that many former players in the building that were in the building this weekend. It was wild.
Well, you had Hall of Fame stuff with Mariota.
So Hall of Fame stuff. So Mariota and Grassou. Haloti Ngata went into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Correct.
So that's why he got honored. Yeah. Mariota and Grassou went into the Oregon Football Hall of Fame. And Grassou had a great line, Dusty said it is in introduction speech. Induction speech, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Basically saying, it's finally nice to have a one up on my wife athletically. She'll be in this Hall of Fame, but I was here first. Because you have to wait 10 years past
What's
your playing
age
day.
Gap?
I think Grassou's a couple years older than.
Like, were they in college at the same time? Because I don't have that in my head. As
they might have overlapped.
Maybe like a senior freshman, maybe a senior sophomore thing, something along those
lines.
And
I don't know why, but something about Haronis Grassou, I have him like 8 to 10 years older than her. And I know I'm wrong here, but.
Yeah, maybe it is that big of a gap.
The COVID timeline warped my brain.
Totally did, right? Because she was there at the end of the COVID run. But it was a funny line of like, she's the greatest female basketball player of all time. She will definitely be here.
Yes.
Yeah, his last year was 2014, I think.
I don't think she was.
She's been in the WNBA for.
I know.
But she was there all the way through COVID.
COVID
I think Sprague's right.
Year.
I think Sprague's right.
I think they missed each other by a year or two.
Yeah.
And then he's a Duck legend, so he's around and he gets to meet her. And
that's a good question. I don't know how they met.
They're going to have super babies.
Yeah, her first year at Oregon was 2016, so they just missed.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
So she's a couple of years younger than him.
Yeah. The Grassous, watch out for that name in basketball someday.
Dude, that family's going to dominate athletically. You get an offensive lineman mixed with the skill that she provides. Like that's
also the brain of a center and the brain of a highly intelligent
a point
basketball
guard,
player.
Center. I mean, it just
oh
is
my
a
God.
Perfect meshing of athletic genes.
They're going to have a floor general. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, they will.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be terrifying. Keep an eye out for it.
It's rivalry weekend. Are you feeling the love? Are you feeling the hatred? Where are you at on Oregon-Washington week? We'll do a little peekaboo on that. We'll get to Dan Lanning at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, hour two rolls on 105.1 The Fan.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game every Sunday all season long, just $30 for the first year. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Get to some Dan Lanning audio. The Ducks versus them audio stuff has pissed off USC fan. And then also, he had his press conference yesterday, and he talked about the rivalry, the UW defense, Damon Williams. So we'll get to some of that. That'll be our daily ticker today. Don't appreciate and understand why I got this text from our boss.
Oh, what do you got?
According to Bill Conley's SB Plus, Oregon State is closer to Central Washington than they are Oregon. Did I say something that was offensive about Oregon to make?
I think you did. You pissed him off. You pissed him off.
Listen here, duck boy. Don't text that from the sidelines. How dare you?
I got a lot of family connections to Central Washington, man. Ellensburg, beautiful town. Been to the Ellensburg Rodeo. Shout out Central Washington.
I do too. Will Ortner, what up?
Will Ortner, that's right. I forgot he went there too.
I don't know if I knew another human being that went to a school the caliber of Central Washington that wanted to tell me more that they went to Central Washington than Will Ortner.
Last time I was there, we were there for the rodeo, and they rent out the dorms because it's before college starts. And so like,
so it's like a mini hotel?
It's like a mini hotel.
Okay.
And I remember sleeping at just being having a night, and the night before the rodeo, we didn't even make it to the rodeo the next day. That's how long the
you
night
went
was.
There for a rodeo and didn't
we
go
did.
To the rodeo?
We drove back. We got out of there. It was rough. People were there's a big parade the next morning. They have this like pancake breakfast. People were throwing up in bushes. It was a whole scene.
Jeez, dude.
We had a good time.
By the way, poll question on the Myles Garrett and Jim Brown. Who's the better Brown all time? One listener says, I can't believe the conversation for greatest Brown player of all time. And Brian Sipe or Bernie Kosar isn't coming up in this conversation.
How dare we?
Your show needs some more blue hairs to get involved. Respectfully, no, sir. Myles Garrett and Jim Brown are far and away better than Bernie Kosar.
Yeah, which, by the way, not even close.
Good news and update on Bernie Kosar.
Great news. It's not even close. You're talking about two of the best ever at their position. Nobody ever says that about Bernie Kosar.
No, he's not in that.
No. By the way, a quick point of contention from a listener, valid, that I didn't quite realize. According to this listener, now I'm just going to take it as gospel because they're smart and they know what they're talking about. Tomorrow's game is a cup game?
Yeah, the Spurs. They're in the group of death with
us. And if they win that game, they win their division.
Why did you say yes off the air in our ear? That's always weird.
Because we hear it, and I'm not sure if that went out over the air.
The button was closer. I'm over here working on audio.
So does that mean if we win our group, we go to Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
in, we're the, in Vegas. You're in the
we're
dance.
In the dance.
You're in the dance. We're in the cup dance.
We're going to play dancing. A quarterfinal game. You know, you don't go to Vegas. The quarterfinal games, I believe, are played on in NBA venues.
Oh, and then the semifinals
and then
go?
The semifinals,
do we get to host? What matchup do we want?
I think it depends on record and the cup groups.
Okay.
Because there's six group winners and then two wild cards.
Here's a good question for you.
I also love on the NBA's own website, they haven't even updated the cup standings. They don't even have a registered result for the Golden State game on Friday night. Because you asked me during the break, Google the cup standings. I'm literally on NBA.com/NBA Cup, and it says the Blazers, the Rockets, the Nuggets, and the Warriors, and the Spurs are all 1-1. They haven't even registered the third game yet, and their standings on their own website.
That's because that league is stupid. So that makes sense.
And none of this matters.
If they go to Vegas, who is the best dancer of these four people? Casey Holdall, Lamar Hurd, Brooke Olsendam, Travis Demers.
Brooke Olsendam. I think Brooke's got the best moves.
So a song, random song, let's go, Earth, Wind, Fire starts
Earth,
playing.
Earth, Wind, Fire,
all
come
on. The dance floor.
Everybody's grooving in a Vegas bar.
Yeah.
I'd put $20 on Brooke having the best moves.
Really?
I would.
Hmm.
I think Casey's got sneaky moves.
Casey strikes me as super smooth rolling the pizza dough with like the hands, like I'm cooking up something, but he's doing it perfectly with the music. So you look at him and you're like, not really doing a move, but he's doing it so smoothly that he's like, that guy can
dance.
It's
not robotic. It's not awkward.
Right.
Demers, I don't know. I love you, Demers. I don't know how I feel about your dancing abilities.
You're not even bringing up Lamar.
Because I just assume that Lamar's a good dancer.
Why do you assume that?
For no reason. He played basketball.
That's not the reason.
That's not the reason. I go Brooke 1, Lamar 2.
I'm surprised the reason didn't have you putting Lamar 1.
Yeah, I just, Brooke, there's something about her. I feel like we've had her on the show and she's given music tastes or music takes before.
On Taylor Swift.
On different artists. I think Brooke's got moves. That's my hot take.
Okay.
Go ahead and power rank them. Who do you got?
I think I'm going Lamar 1.
How come?
Well, because he's talented.
Oh, okay.
He's a multi-talented individual.
Sure, yeah.
And then I got Casey surprise number two.
Casey number two?
With Brooke a close second, but third, and Demers.
Mm. Demers has the most to prove here.
Yeah.
I have no faith in his abilities. Maybe he shocks us, but I'm not putting money on it.
Demers is screaming that he was the PIL player of the year, but a lot of people look at him and go, well, what kind of system did you run? You know what I mean? Run heavy system.
Did you actually throw the ball? I don't think you did.
How you feeling on the Oregon-Washington week?
I mean, I'm fired up. It's a massive game. The playoffs might be on the line this weekend.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee if you lose it, you make it. They would need some other dom. I think the projectors or predictors say it's somewhere in the 68 to 70% chance to make it if they lose the game, but you need other dominoes to fall. Nothing is a guarantee. And so you don't want to leave it up to chance for the committee. I think this is a really dumb way to decide who gets to play for a playoff. So take it out of their hands completely. You win the game, and you know that you're hosting a college football playoff game, likely against a marquee opponent, although that also could change because maybe you end up the 5 seed and you get the group of 6 team. But it's just, yeah, I mean, this is... You lost this game in heartbreaking fashion 2 times 2 years ago, and those are two of the toughest losses that I've ever been through as a fan. Their coach walks out, your coach stays, you blow them out last year, and I think similarly to what we talked about last week with USC of reminding everybody on the West Coast, like, yeah, we run stuff out here. You might have a cute recruiting class this upcoming year, and hey, maybe you're a little bit better than you've been in years past. We're still the premier program on the West Coast. Now it's time to go remind Washington of that. So there's a ton on the line. The pain of losing this game and missing the playoff, it's similar to what Oregon State went through in 2008, where you're a win away from going to a Rose Bowl and your rival comes into your building and beats you. This one would be in Seattle. Connolly, I think, in his point projection from the SP Plus, had it 29-23, so right around the range of the spread. Last week, he had Oregon by about 10 or 11. And that ended up being somewhat accurate, but there's a lot on the line this weekend, man. So, yeah, I'm feeling the heat, and I can't wait. It's just a weird week with it being Thanksgiving.
You know, the last time they played in Washington, you're reminded of the emotions in the game in which you speak of.
Missing a kick at the end of regulation to tie it to go to overtime.
Yeah, and you just kind of remember how I wasn't there, but I can tell you just watching on TV how loud it felt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk to people who were there and they're like, dude, it might be one of the loudest venues I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, this is their Super Bowl this week.
And I kind of think it's going to be very similar. I know this team is not what that team was, but given what their record is, they finally won a game in convincing fashion on the road against a lesser opponent.
They did.
They've got a chance to finish on a real high this season. 9 wins in year 2.
Mm-hmm.
To go from where they were at 6-6 would be such an exceptional year 2 jump. And Lanning had a press conference. We'll get to some of the audio stuff. So he talked about, you know, the progression and, you know, how, you know, people don't take into account how growing culture and building culture is a lot longer process than 4 games
it
or
takes
3 weeks.
Time.
You know, it takes time. And maybe Jed has gotten there. His name hasn't been brought up as much in some of these coaching things. But as you like to highlight, let's wait to see some of the dominoes fall.
Yeah.
And then see what the jobs are that become open. But if he is committed there, like, I just wonder what this means internally for not only the fan base of, like, we could get to 9 and ruin Oregon's season, but also they also hate you the way you hate them, right? This has become the end of the year rivalry. Now that Washington State and Oregon State are no longer in this thing, this is the game of the end of the year. Now, for some, it already was, but the schedule part of it is what I'm talking about. The end of the season stuff. I'll be curious to hear how full and loud it is at Husky Stadium, even though this team isn't as great as the last time Oregon was there.
No, no. I mean, yeah, that team went undefeated and played for a national championship. This Washington team is certainly not that, but they're better than they were a year ago. And I think we all acknowledge and agree that going into rivalry games, it's a lot more fun when there's a little bit of nervous energy in your system, if you will. Like, there was none of that last year. They played Washington at home. Damon Williams was making his first start going into the game. It was just a question of how much is Oregon going to win this game by, and it was essentially over at halftime. That's not the same feeling this year because Washington is better. I think one of the biggest questions about this game will be, and we'll have to keep an eye on it as the week goes on. You're not going to get any answers from Lanning out of this because he was asked last night and he's not giving you a squat. Who plays and who doesn't play? And remember, on the other side of this, for Washington, Boston has been banged up and has missed some time here over the last couple of weeks. Coleman came in. He was only doing essentially third downs and goal line runs last week.
He got banged up at Wisconsin.
So he's been banged up for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Jed was asked about them yesterday, and he said, you know, we'll have to wait and see. They will be a part of the game plan. Now, is that a decoy, or are they back to 100%? Time will tell on those answers. One other note to keep an eye on for the game, too, on Washington's side, is that Jacob Manu, their linebacker, the transfer from Arizona, he evidently has another year of eligibility left. But they're redshirting him this year because of some of the injuries that he went through. So you can play in four games. He wanted to play last week and not this week because I think he's from the LA area, and that was his dream to go back and play in his home state. And so that was a bigger game for him to play in. So he will not be available for Washington this week. So just another thing to keep an eye on. And for Oregon, a lot of it will come down to how many of your offensive linemen play. Do you get your wide receivers back? Like, this is a game, I think, going in, if Oregon is, if you tell me this weekend that DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant are able to come back from their injuries and you get your starting offensive line back,
I
maybe
think you're feeling very confident.
Not at 100%.
Right?
You feel unbelievable. But now you're dealing with potentially backup tackles and a backup center and your top two wide receivers out, and you're on the road, to your point, on the noise. It kind of throws it up in the air a little bit.
Dan Lanning gives his thoughts, and we got a little Ducks versus them audio that pissed off USC fans. And we'll get to the Daily Ticker next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Gather your flock with Pelican's new Flock Party IPA, bringing big hop flavor to every game day celebration.
Pelican Brewing presents today's Daily Ticker. Hit the coast like a true MVP. Pelican Brewing has locations in Cannon Beach, Pacific City, Tillamook, Lincoln City, and now Rockaway Beach. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. Don't have a guest. We got potentially two guests tomorrow. Lucy Burge Wednesday, I believe she will join us, so we'll get her thoughts on the Thanksgiving festivities.
And we will go to Oxford.
Yes.
7:30.
Yeah.
Jake Thompson covers Ole Miss.
Great. I think it is outside of our bubble of a rivalry weekend in Seattle. I think it's the biggest story in college football.
Yep.
It's a great weekend of college football, and that's a massive part of it. Is he still there? Does he stay committed? Does Alabama lose? Does Michigan beat Ohio State again? I can't wait for this weekend.
The whole wait till after the game for the announcement thing, it's not I'm staying at Ole Miss, it's going to be the most bizarre way to handle that situation I've ever seen in my life.
And then it will come down to the question of, if he is leaving, do you let him coach in the playoffs? Do you boot him out?
Get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's what your answer is, but is that what Ole Miss's answer is going to be?
Well, today's Daily Ticker is going to be some Lanning audio. It is press conference, and the Ducks versus them USC edition came out. And so we'll start with this one. Here's Dan Lanning, who, this rivalry didn't start out great for old Dan Lanning. 0-3.
Yes.
And here was Dan Lanning on the rivalry with UW and how he views it.
It's just like Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of the same messaging from that standpoint of go out there and do your job is the best way you can control. And I know that our guys are going to be a high level of emotion in this game. They're going to have that. But it's definitely an important rivalry to us. This game means a lot. It's probably the number one question I get asked when I'm out on the road with donors and support groups and talking about our university is about this game. It's one that I struggled with early on when I was here, you know, to start. They had some success against us, so it means a lot to me. It's one that I want to have success in, and they're well coached. I mean, Jed does a good job. They have good players. They've done a really good job in talent evaluation. Their quarterback's playing as well as anybody right now. Got good wideouts, got good back. I know they've been a little banged up. It sounds like they're getting healthy, similar to us. You know, we've been banged up. So ultimately, though, you see a complete team, you know, and then two fan bases that don't like each other, which makes it fun.
Remember when you had a head coach who didn't care about any of the rivalry games?
Nameless, faceless opponent, man. Every week, it does not matter. He's like, when you're that level of a psychotic competitor, he had the line last year going into the game where he said, I go to bed every night thinking about them and I wake up every morning thinking about them, because he understands the importance of the rivalry. And until that point, he had not beaten Washington yet. And that was one of the biggest stains on his
He had a mini Ryan Day run
resume as a head coach. Like, yeah. you gotta beat him. And then he did. And so I take him at his word. I think he is an absolute psycho and he thinks about winning this game constantly and he understands the importance of it.
He also talked about the UW defense. It's interesting. You look some of the analytics within just the Big Ten, and UW's defense has taken a massive step forward this season. Ryan Walter, obviously the Purdue coach from last year, fired. He is now the DC at Washington. Here's Dan Lanning on UW's defense this season.
I think they've got a little bit more versatility than I've seen from the past. A lot of variety that they can pitch. They're a game plan defense. You're going to see new stuff each week, not necessarily carry over from the previous week. They've got good good talent on that side of the ball, but the variety makes it a challenge. You know, four down, three down fronts, multitude of coverages, you know, some middle closed, certainly some high safety looks that we've seen in the past, but a lot of variety off of that as well.
Washington coming into this game in the Big Ten is seventh in rush defense. Mm-hmm. In passing defense, they're ninth. And in total defense, I want to say, give me a second here, sixth.
Yeah.
I would actually say this about them, because we know Oregon's having a great year defensively. They're second statistically, only behind Ohio State in some metrics. They're having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
I actually feel like it's a bit underrated, the Washington defensive performance this year. Now, their road woes have not been great, but like, let's go back to the Wisconsin game. How many points did Wisconsin score?
Yeah, not a lot. 13.
And they got to the 13 because, in large part, very short fields.
Yeah.
That's an interesting element this weekend to me, especially as you consider the injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Pickard played a good game, but he had the quarterback sneak that was not successful. And he also had the snap infraction, Lanning talked about cleaning some of that stuff up. You mentioned not having top targets in Bryant and Moore, potentially. We'll have to wait and see on it.
Yeah, we do not know yet.
I'm really curious. We know Washington's a better team in Seattle than they are on the road, but they won on the road. They haven't done that a whole lot this year.
No.
And their defense is having a pretty sneaky, stellar season, I would say, in year one under Walters.
Yeah, and I would say, like, the road stuff is irrelevant in this game because they're not playing on the road. And so they got to win last week. I'm not putting a lot of stock in beating UCLA
but they lost to Wisconsin.
No doubt about it. I think there's a big difference traveling east and then north and south for some of these teams on the West Coast, right? So if this game was in Eugene, maybe that's more of a bearing, like, hey, they showed that they could do it on the road. Maybe you're scared of that. But they've been a really good home team all year. And to add to your point, the irony of them this year is that they have two losses on their schedule outside of the Wisconsin game, but you can add that to it. That was such a head-scratcher, although Wisconsin, to their credit, is playing a little bit better football late in the season. The two times they've played good, talented rosters, they've been dominated in both games, and the defense wasn't the problem. They lost at home to Ohio State. They gave up 24 points, which, all right, what was the score at halftime of that game? Like 7-6? It was a super low-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
Might even have been lower than that. I'd have to go look it up. And then the Michigan game, it was 24-7 was the final of that game. So the issue, ironically, when they've played better teams, has not been their defense getting ran through. It's been their offense being clunky, not being able to run the football, and Damon Williams at times holding on to it, taking bad sacks, negative plays, turning the ball over. He had a couple of picks, if I remember correctly, in the Michigan game. So defense has not really been their issue. Now, I think some of their inflated numbers here as of late, and this is exactly what we said about Oregon last week when they're the number one pass defense in the country. It's like, well, yeah, but they have, you know, Indiana's really the only offense with a pulse that they've played all year. Rutgers has a decent passing attack, to be fair. But the last couple of weeks, you get Purdue at home, and then you get UCLA. And UCLA is just, I mean, they had their little brief moment after a firing of a coach, and then Purdue can't do anything offensively. And so they've climbed up some of those metrics because of what they've done. But the Manu linebacker being out is an interesting twist in this game. But I do know that Washington has two very good corners with a lot of length that can give Oregon some problems.
You can look through a lot of, I think, stats to find more than just this. Do you know one stat that caught my eye where Washington defensively is better than Oregon?
I'm curious. What is it?
This one's interesting. Opponent red zone conversion percentage.
Oh, Oregon's been horrible. The teams haven't gotten to the red zone a lot, but when they've gotten there, that's why it was so weird that UC didn't score at the end of the first
half.
They're
scoring 90% of the time against Oregon when you get to the red zone. Of the touchdowns, it's 16 touchdowns on the year. Washington is eighth in red zone. It's not that this is the make or break stat.
No.
Washington also gives up a lot of tackles for loss. So that's an interesting note given Oregon's defense mm-hmm. and how this year with pressure it's been good, but it's not been the numbers that people thought from a sack percentage.
Yeah.
I'm more curious to see what that's going to be for Oregon's defense, but you kind of just comb through it, and Washington's defense is formidable. I'm really curious to see the injury. Poncho, he was asked about Poncho, and he was, hey, I know what your answer is going to be here, but, and he basically said, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. He's not going to give anything.
We're not going to know until the game starts. No. World wasn't even supposed to play, and we found out yesterday that he basically told the coaches, I'm playing.
I'm playing. You're not taking me out
of the game. Like, even the guys that are told they're not playing are still finding a way to get on the field.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of wait and see, I think, for both sides from an injury front.
No doubt. Like, if you tell me this game ends up being a little more low scoring than some people might think going in, I'm not surprised by that.
Like, do we get the 26-20 type of final result?
That wouldn't surprise me at all if that ended up being the kind of game that we get. The key for Oregon's defense will be similar to what it was last week. You cannot allow them to be balanced. In Oregon, I think it's one of the more untalked about things out of the game. They dominated USC in terms of their ability to run the football. USC had, 20 carries for 50 yards, averaged below 2 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. When you look at Washington's offense, when they have played good defensive fronts a la Ohio State and Michigan, that's been the key. They can't run the football. And you're living in third and long. And Damon Williams is such a dynamic athlete that's going to make a handful of wow plays that say, oh, my God, how did he do that? He also has a little bit of Caleb Williams or Shador Sanders in him where he kind of holds onto it, takes a 12-yard loss. He doesn't see the middle of the field as well as some because of his lack of height. And so that ends up being the ultimate key for me. If you can bottle up Washington's ability to run the football, I think you could slow down this offense outside of some Damon Williams broken plays.
Yeah, you want to see guys play, but Oregon has depth. Washington doesn't have Coleman, and he barely got any carries last week. If Coleman is limited and Boston's out.
Yeah, Muhammad's played well, but he's not Coleman, and Boston is their number one wide receiver.
And if Boston's out, like, that's the thing about Washington right now where they're at. You're just going to feel a little like, eh.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's a home game, so anything
tough to
goes.
Win in there, no doubt.
Last one, Dan Lanning on Damon Williams.
When we saw him last year, I knew that, okay, this guy's going to be a really good player. His speed is unique. At quarterback, I don't think there's anyone we've seen that can run like he runs, this year. And he can make really impressive throws as well. He has some wide outs that he can go to. So when he's on, man, they're dangerous. They're really dangerous, and it's hard to get him off. So he plays really well. Can make all the throws, can run with his feet, tough guy to get down.
On the season, Damon Williams, 2,700 yards, 72% completion percentage, 19 touchdowns to 6 picks.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that he's got to show in the early parts of his career, and this is what I was talking about, is to do it against an elite defense. Now, it was unfair to throw him under the bus for the game last year in Eugene because that was his first career start, although he had played going into that game.
He was like the only bright thing about that game.
The only bright thing about that game. They played Ohio State at home, obviously, the same night that Oregon played Penn State. In that game, he was 18 of 22 for 170 yards. He had 13 carries for negative 28 yards. His longest scramble or run was a 10-yard run, and he took a ton of sacks. And when they went on the road to Michigan, he was 20 of 32 for 200 yards and 3 picks, and he had 5 carries for 19 yards. And so he's a young player. That's the next thing, the next challenge that he has to show is Oregon's got a lot of injuries right now. Those injuries are not on the defensive side of the football. They love the way their defensive line is playing. Go watch. There's all 22 film out there of what Bear Alexander was doing this weekend, and he absolutely dominated that game. Mateo had a big game. Like, this is a pass rush that will get after you in a Washington offensive line that has been a little leaky at times this year, and so he's got to get rid of the ball on schedule and not hold on to it and take those negative plays.
We have a lot more to get into on the program, but that's today's Daily Ticker. It's brought to you on the Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Online at pelicanbrewing.com. Dan Lanning's got USC fans in a tizzy. We'll get to that coming up next. 105.1 The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Third hour right around the corner. In the fourth hour, we've got this.
Mail sack.
Mail sack.
So get those mail sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to the mail sack in the 9 a.m. hour. Poll questions up, by the way, at Dirt and Sprague if you're on social media. Who of these Blazer individuals would be the best dancer of these four?
Okay.
Lamar Hurt, Brooke Olsendam, Casey Holdall, or Travis Demers? Last I checked, Holdall had no votes and Demers had one.
Come on.
Travis Seriously. Listening to the show?
I don't think any of them are.
No, they were in. They were all in Milwaukee.
They're in Milwaukee,
last night,
dude. Yeah. They probably got home at like 2 a.m. They're still sleeping.
They are not up and listening to the radio right now.
Ones.
Yeah. I don't think he's awake.
I don't think they're awake right now.
I'd be willing to bet. Would you be awake right now?
I know Casey's not.
No.
Nope. I don't think Lamar is.
Nope.
Lamar's not.
I don't think Brooke is.
No. That's an arrival in the middle of the night, and we're going to sleep until we wake up today. That's exactly what you do.
Yeah, what do they got to be awake for?
They got nothing going on today.
Exactly.
There's no game today.
So Dan Lanning, we played some Dan Lanning audio from the UW comments. Dan Lanning got all USC fans hot and bothered yesterday.
He did. Ducks versus them came out last night, and it was it's always enjoyable if you're a Duck fan, because if you get it, it means you won the game, because they don't release them when they lose. And so you get the snippets of what the messaging was, and you're always curious, because there's always a theme of the week. There's always some sort of tone that is set, and then you find out ultimately after they win the game, if they win the game, what it was. And USC fan was not happy about this one.
Well, this is why USC fans really upset. Ducks versus them. Here was Dan Lanning's pregame message to the team.
These teams, they send out notes every single week, right? And I don't really usually pay much attention to them. But all their notes, they can't keep your name out their mouth. All they're doing is talking about you, and they're talking about all this shit that used to happen. That shit don't happen no more. Oregon is the one that sets the standard. All this shit is just talk. We're going to show them with our what? Our play. Coach Stein said at the beginning of the week, it's about us because of the work that you've done. So don't tell me what you did in 1999. It's 2025. Everybody understand that?
Round by round, composure, laser focus, win your one-on-one matchup.
Seniors, this game we're all putting on the line for you. It's a DNA game, connection, toughness, growth, sacrifice. It shows up right here. And in this fight, as they get a little bit tired, we say one more round. After we hit a big play, we say one more round, right? After they start to bleed, we say one more round. Really simple. For the seniors in this room, you get an opportunity to lay it on the line. They're living off their history. Matt Leinart, he ain't walking through there. Reggie Bush ain't going to show up. But I'll tell you who he is. Dante Moore's going to show up. Bryce Betcher going to show up. Pacho going to show up. Blake Purchase going to show up. We got the Warriors necessary to go walk out there and deliver. Understand something. Why are you wearing black? You're going to a Trojan funeral.
Gets it going. Revs your engine. I think it moved.
He's got such a good script writer.
He does.
He's got the best writing team in America.
I'm picturing the Stan music video. He's just down there writing down the lyrics. He's got it cooked up every week, man. It was perfect. It was so. I mean, it was so spot on.
Why would USC fan be upset by this? Like, seriously,
because it's telling them that they haven't been relevant in 20 years and they don't want to acknowledge that.
Are they not paying attention?
They refuse to live in reality, and they say, we've won national championships. Congratulations. You've been irrelevant for 20 years in the sport.
Yeah, I have family. I have a cousin. He's a UW grad, and I saw him this weekend. We went to a movie together. And
UW's been relevant. They've been to a playoff game and a national championship game.
So he is one of the, like, he was at the school as a student when they got voted the half
of the title. Yeah.
The year that they got the title. And he does, like, he says that he knows the internet's not reality, but he can't help but also see it. And he's like, it's pretty amazing to me how he views Oregon fan as like, they have a title, but they don't have a title, but they should have a title. And he was kind of getting into that with me a little bit this week. So we were talking about that. But to what you just said, like, at least they've been to the playoff. They've been to a national championship game.
Yeah.
There's a little more juice in that one.
They've been to the playoff twice. USC's never been to a college football playoff.
Yeah.
It's existed for 11 years.
And it's kind of the one thing that, like, Meringue responds to you when he comes in and you guys do your little banter. He's like, you got to win one. And I'm like, but you didn't. You haven't really won one. You won one in a different system.
I mean, look, they have an actual national championship, not a split one.
But I do view it, and I'm not a Duck fan. I do view this differently. The people that won because the AP voted with their votes and they didn't watch all these games, there was no way. There was like 9 channels.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not that you shouldn't, I guess, celebrate the history. It's just, it's bizarre that we're holding up. You won on a vote. Even the teams that played in the national championship, that wasn't even a perfect system, right? There were years that we don't think the right teams were in it. This is it's a playoff.
Yeah.
It's so different than when it was when you voted.
It's now a 12-team playoff, by the way.
It's harder. And the kids
it's harder
can
to
jump
win
around.
One, too, but it's easier to make it. Like, the fact that they've never even been to a college football playoff in 11 years.
Oh, I would disagree with you. I'm not trying to make an excuse for USC. I do think it's just as hard to make it in 12 as it is 4, especially with the way the conference powers have aligned. But for USC to not have made it, and for them to just tout 2004 as if that wasn't 21 years ago.
Yeah.
Is pretty crazy.
And look, they will always have the history of winning a championship, and it's something that Oregon fans will yearn for until we get, right? And that will be the biggest criticism of the fan base and the program until they accomplish it. So you can't take away the history. My funny retort to that is, have fun watching highlights and standard definition television of the last time you were relevant. Who's a win away from going to another playoff this weekend? Who's potentially going to host a college football playoff game in a couple of weeks with Alabama or Notre Dame or Georgia, whoever it might, or Miami?
Right.
If they win on Saturday, that's their future. We're looking ahead because we have things to look forward to. You are looking in the past because you haven't accomplished anything in 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. USC hasn't been to a playoff. So I thought that the speech was spot on. I mean, that's exactly how I feel about USC. They haven't felt like a threat in a very long time. They haven't won at Autzen Stadium since 2011, man. Lane Kiffin was their head coach the last time they won at Autzen Stadium.
They tarmacked
now,
him.
There's not been a lot of opportunities for them because they didn't play every other year and you'd switch the LA schools and all that. So it's not like it was an every year thing like it was for some and when you would play Washington every year. But this idea that USC is living off of what happened 20 years ago, and the sad reality for them is it's a bygone era of the sport, and it's if you're under the age of, let's see, how old would you have to be? If you're under the age of like 27 or 28, you have no recollection of USC being a dominant force
in the
sport.
No, you just go off what people tell you.
It's just like for us, you know, for some
for
it would
Blazers.
Be. Yeah, I mean, in my lifetime, a lot of this is kind of Notre Dame, right? Like, I've never seen Notre Dame win a national championship. They were good when I was a kid. And USC had good years there kind of at the end of Pete Carroll. They just couldn't win another national title. Mm-hmm. They'd lose to Oregon State on the road or the Halloween game at Autzen. Like, they'd stumble once or twice and then go win a Rose Bowl. That was kind of what they were for a few years. But I'd never, you know, if you're under that age, you don't remember them winning titles. You don't remember them being the force in the sport, which is what they were for a number of years there. And that's the reality for USC.
It is a
mail sack
Tuesday. So get the mail sack questions in 503-864-6326. Loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines.
You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.